Grace to you and peace from God and Jesus, our advocate, Lord, and Savior. Amen. Will you please be seated? Imagine for a moment that you are at your daily job, whether that be outside the household or inside the household. Just standing or sitting, doing your daily work, teaching, working on a computer, driving around, whatever it is you do on a daily basis. And then out of the blue comes this strange man, maybe a little rough looking, someone you haven't seen before. He stops you in what you are doing and tells you to follow him, and he will give you a new job of working to make people's lives better. He wants you to drop everything, your job, your family, your friends, your whole life, and just follow him to do something strange and new. Do you? Do you suddenly upset your whole life simply because a stranger asked you to do it? If you are anything like me, I'm sure you're thinking, no way, I'd never do that. But this is apparently what happens in the second part of today's gospel reading, a story that is well known to most people, where Jesus starts calling his disciples to follow him, to be fishers of people. The story clearly states, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. For many people and for many interpretations, this is clear cut. If we truly want to be followers of Christ, we must give up our lives and completely devote them to following Christ. Even if it means leaving everything we know and love and changing our lives completely. I don't know about you, but this seems quite hard for me to believe, that we would be expected to uproot our lives like that for the sake of the gospel. I mean, why would God give us our lives, those things and people that we love and care for, if we are just supposed to push them aside and leave everything to devote ourselves solely to God? Now let's just take a look at why Jesus was calling them in the first place. First, we hear that Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. At a quick glance, it sounds like he did three things. He taught, he proclaimed, and he cured people. But are they really three separate things, or are they just one? Could it be that they are all forms of advocacy? The Oxford Dictionary defines advocacy or an advocate as a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. Jesus certainly did things publicly and encouraged others to do so as well. His particular cause or policy? Well, simply that the good news of God's love is for all. All of Jesus' actions were around this. He wanted to bring the wholeness, the completeness that only is fulfilled and fully realized when we know that God's love is here and now and for all people. That everyone gets to experience a full and complete life. Without people being able to have a full and complete life, then God's kingdom isn't fully realized. In the Old Testament, There is a focus on God's chosen people and a lot of laws that were set down for these people. At the time, these laws made perfect sense to ensure that people could lead full and complete lives. But over time, these laws became so ingrained in the faith that people believed that the only way to be saved and be right in God's eyes was to follow these laws, created for a certain time and a certain place, to the exact letter. I want to stop here and tell you a story about how easy this is to sort of get ingrained in us. There was a certain parish whose priest came into this new parish, and the altar guild instructed him on how to set up the altar, because that's what altar guilds do. They were to put the fair linen down, the corporal down, the chalice down with a paten on top of it, followed by the berth and the veil. And over on the side, they were to put the spoon. Now, this priest understood the chalice and the paten and the berth and the veil, but the spoon was new to him. He wasn't quite sure why the spoon was there. So one day, he struck up his courage, and he went to the head of the altar guild, and he said, "I understand how to set up the altar. We've been doing it forever. I don't understand the spoon." And the head of the altar guild looked at him and said, "Well, we've always done it that way." "But why?" said the priest. I don't know. I got it from the head of the altar guild before me, and she got it from the head of the altar guild before her." And finally, the truth came out. One day, a long time ago, there was a priest who used to take home communions to the elderly and the infirm. And he would take them reserved sacraments. But most of those individuals couldn't consume a full wafer, or nor could they drink from the cup. So he would put a piece of the wafer and the wine on the spoon. And his thinking was, if we on every Sunday bless what is on the altar, which includes the chalice and the paten, the vessel that these people received from was the spoon. And so they blessed the spoon. It is once again the Anglican idea that for every natural act, lighting candles, those kinds of things, there is a sacred meaning. For him, there was a sacred meaning. But it is not part of our tradition. It is just was ingrained in him, and he passed, and it got passed down through the ages, people not understanding why. It was for a certain time and a certain place. One might even say that this group of individuals and the people of the Old Testament worshiped the laws more than they worshiped God. Since in their eyes, one can only get to God through the laws. Oftentimes, these laws were even changed or given more detailed rules and rituals that had to be followed to be considered meeting the letter of the law. This left people not being able to access God anymore, because this access was being controlled by the church and all their laws and rituals. Jesus came to advocate for these people, to show them that there is a different way, a way that allows access to God for all. So how does advocacy tie into what Matthew says that Jesus taught, proclaimed, and healed? First, Jesus' teachings. He knew that the way to reach some of the people is to meet them where they are most comfortable. With the Old Testament, the history, and the laws, he met them in the synagogues where they were gathering for worship. However, he then took their readings that they were so used to hearing and challenged them to think about them in new and different ways. Approaches that would help them see there is a new way that God is working within them, a way that opens up God's love and wholeness to all by looking at the laws and understanding the reason they were created in the first place. Next, Jesus proclaimed the good news. He did this in his everyday life with everyday people around him, making sure that everyone would hear his message of a new way of life with God that is open to all people. For example, in several cases, Jesus was accused of working on the Sabbath, which people viewed as being against the commandments. He healed several times and also allowed his disciples to pick corn on the Sabbath. According to the strict interpretations of the law that religious leaders created, Jesus was sinning. He was committing a violation of the Sabbath. This was the first of a whole series of conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees about those laws. Two things must be remembered. First, the Pharisees had added a whole complex system of traditions about Sabbath observance. Much of this was intricate and detailed, but above all, it was based on their own ideas, not on what God's law really said. And second, they were motivated in their criticisms, not by sincere concern for the Sabbath, but by a desire to trap Jesus. Jesus is working to show people that our actions must be done in a way that shows forth God's kingdom, not by other motivations or human-made laws and customs. Jesus' whole life about proclaiming this good news that is about our connection with God, and it is just that, a connection with God. Not one that has to be made through laws and sacrifices, and that we don't do something just right, that if we don't do something just right, that connection is gone. But instead, that connection is made by God and is permanent and unbreakable. The third activity that Matthew says Jesus was involved in was healing people. The biggest part of this isn't that Jesus healed, but who he healed. As Matthew says, Jesus was curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Nothing about deserving people or people who go to synagogue every Sabbath or people who have followed every law perfectly or people who have been deemed by society to be male or people who have a certain skin tone or people from certain countries. No, none of this. He healed everyone who needed to be healed. Much of the time, these people that needed healing were those who were lacking food or money or status or were shunned by society once they became ill. None of this mattered to Jesus. He healed them all. Well, what we can get from that first is how busy Jesus was. And he is asking us as individuals and as the church body to follow him and do all this, to be advocates for everyone in society, to publicly support this cause, to make sure that God's love and fullness in his kingdom are available and acceptable or accessible to all people? Those are some pretty big sandals to fill, I would think. And yes, it is a lot to do. But that's what we are called to be advocates for all of society, especially those most vulnerable, those fleeing persecution, those who are shunned from society, including members of the LGBTQ community and those who are hungry or poor. Anyone who does not have the means to live their lives fully and freely to experience true wholeness and love of God. It is hard work, and yet each one of us is called. Many times people say church and politics shouldn't be mixed, but that simply can't be. If we are to fully live into our call to be advocates, just like Jesus challenged the religious and governmental systems of his time, we need to challenge our systems. If that means teaching others so that they better understand the minorities in society by holding community forums and movie screenings, do that. If it means spreading the good news of God's love for all at Pride events, do that. If it means healing or helping people in need by providing shelter in our parish buildings and taking care of all their needs, then we're called to do that. Writing letters to elected officials or protesting, do that. And hopefully we don't need to, but if it calls for some rage and throwing over some tables and demanding change, as Jesus did in the temple with the money changers, maybe we do that. No matter what form our advocacy takes, we are called and cannot sit silently in our chairs inside these walls and do nothing. We must publicly support God's call for us to share his kingdom of love and wholeness for all. How can we fully feel God's love in us, knowing that others are prevented from living fully into their lives? To share the gospel, the good news of God's love for all, we must be strong advocates for all. We, as individuals, and a community of faith are currently doing advocacy all the time. Is there more that we can do? Certainly. But we need to celebrate what we have and currently do, learn from it, and then work to do even more in this broken world that for many fall way short of being whole and complete, so that God's love, hope, and dream for all may be fully known, so that his kingdom may truly come to us and God's will be done on earth. I just want to take a minute and ask you to please look at the last hymn that we just sang together, hymn 430, a hymn written by John Bell. And I'm not going to read it out, but I'm going to ask you to look at it in a new way. And look at when he says, "Will you come and follow me? Will you be my advocate? Will you care for those who don't have what they need? For those who are shunned? For those who are disregarded? For those who are seen as not worthy? For those who need our love and our compassion and our care, for those, because many of them have no one else to pray for them, for those who need our prayer as well as our work." It's a huge job. It's a demanding job. But it is what we are called to do as children of God, to be advocates for those who have no other. for those known to us and for those who are not known to us, because all of us are children of God. Amen.